Okay, good afternoon. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. Good morning. It is 2000. All right, good afternoon. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. Good afternoon. It is September the 22nd, 2023. Horrible day here on the East Coast. Hope it is better wherever you are at. We are under an advisory, a warning, a watch, a pay attention, all that and more. We do have a big storm coming our way. Ophelia, I think it's called. And, yeah, batten down the hatches. I don't think it's a hurricane. I think it's just sort of evolved into, it's probably what it'll end up being is a nor'easter. But it is a thing. And, yeah, supposed to paddle this weekend, right? Shared before. Supposed to paddle, canceled. 20-foot swells, high seas. No place for me. And I'm glad that we made that choice because it is about to hit and it is feeling pretty breezy out. My son, Big Sam, is coming back from the Outer Banks. Down there with his mother. They were supposed to come back yesterday. No, they were supposed to come back tomorrow. And they are coming back today, thank gosh. Get on back up here, son. They are going to get hit first. It's coming right up the coast, so we're definitely going to get a pounding. And but whatever, we have, you know, honestly, our weather has been fine. We have been pretty lucky over the past few years. Anytime something like this comes up, you know, the conversations. I've been here for 30 years, so the conversations of hurricanes from the past always comes up. Like I said, I've been here 30 years, and I've probably been through maybe four or five hurricanes that I can remember that, you know, that actually maybe played a role. I think Sandy, honestly, was the one that I can remember the last time that we've had was Sandy, and it was coming right at us, right? I remember we did evacuate for that one, went up to another town up north called Milford. And the power went out, right? The trees were coming down. It was crazy. And then once it was all over, we came back down to the beach to, you know, come back home. And our house was fine. It was so funny. Our house was fine. We had never lost power. And we're closer to the beach. So who knows with these things? I know that we definitely give them a lot of respect. This storm will be a lot of wind and rain. My coach, Dave, he reached out and was like, we need to move these boats. We're going to have a tidal surge. And I was like, shit, I'm working. So I didn't get to help him. He's so funny. He talks to me in military time, which I think is hilarious. He's like, we're shooting for 1430. I was like, well, if you haven't found anything by 1430 and you need somebody at 1700, you know, I will be available. But I haven't heard anything. So, but yeah, I'm working today. It's Friday. Worked all day. My last one did not show up. No show. And part of me was like, okay, sort of, anytime I can start my Friday a little sooner, I'm all in. But, you know, I was a little annoyed. I feel like right now I'm so busy that anybody that's on my schedule, you were trying to really make exceptions and get them in. And some people don't recognize that. Or, before I go and slaughter this person, shit happens too, right? I had that situation that came up probably a couple weeks ago where the lady had to cancel or the lady didn't show and I sent her the text. Why did you even bother booking an appointment? I shouldn't have written that, but I wrote it in the kindest, nicest way, right? Nothing too bad, but I did write it, and she wrote, she showed up the next day all upset and concerned and worried. She forgot her appointment, and, you know, I felt bad, but we both worked it out, got her in, took care of that. So, you know, the reality is before I go fly off the handle, right, I need to just make sure that, you know, something didn't come up. Restraint from pen and tongue, right, that second thought, I'm gonna restrain from it and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
good song, Ophelia. Amazing. But yeah, it is, you know, these opportunities for me to be a badass and you know, attack and be, you know, all justified come about. And I have to remember it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So I decided to come over here and try to do a podcast. And if I can sit here and do one of these, I will. And if not, I will bag it and I will go home. And we will start over tomorrow. But I think we can sit down and chat this out. You know, I was thinking about the podcast that I did the other day and my buddy. And, you know, anytime somebody reaches out to me, I tend to dwell on it a little bit. And so I've just been thinking and reflecting. And because it is a great question, man. How do we get better, right? And I seem to compare it to a lot of things. You know, it's sort of like raising kids, right? So my sobriety is like raising my child, right? My sobriety is like starting a new life inside this old life that I already had, right? It's like, you know, something that I get to have, that I get to take care of, and I get to raise. And so I really, you know, it's a lot like raising kids. And the question was, and my answer, you know, the question was, how do you do it? And my answer is just, you know, it's just experiencing it, right? Just going through life and, you know, having some hiccups, having some bad moments, having some great moments, right? We love to talk about all the bad moments that we have in recovery and the tough times, but, you know, some of my toughest times were some of my highest moments, right? Some of these moments were, you know, just not using for a couple days, I'm starting to feel like I'm superpowered, right? I'm a superhero, right? Or someone telling me, hey, I'm proud of you. And I'm like, I'm at another level, right? So it can be a mixture of good times and bad times, but, you know, we get through it. And it's a lot like raising your kids, right? I remember when my son David was born and, you know, loading him in the car, right? Because we'd gone to the class, right? We learned how to buckle him up, right? We learned how to do all that stuff. But I remember putting him in the car and driving going, holy shit, now what? Right? What do I do with this? And, you know, one day at a time, really one moment at a time. It is, it's a lot like getting sober, really. And so I just remember one thing at a time. And you would learn, right? How do you feed the baby, right? Mixing up a bottle, all this different shit. But I tell you, you know, if you ask me today, how do you make a bottle with formula? I couldn't remember. But back in those days, I knew I could make one, two, get them warmed up. I mean, I was the man, right? And so, but you learn, right? You learn, and sometimes you mix it up, and it's too hot, and you know, shit, okay, I got to be careful about that. It's a lot like recovery, and they're just tools, right? Tools in the tool belt, whether it's raising ourselves again, because that's sort of what it was like for me. It was like almost starting over as like a baby and me being in charge of raising me. Right. And it's also like having a baby and me being in charge of raising him. And, but over time, right. And my son, my oldest son, he turned one when I got sober. And so I've been raising him and raising myself for the last, you know, 18 years and, or 17 years, I guess I should say. And it's been, you know, one day at a time. And it's just, but you learn, right? You get experience. You know what works. You do certain things. You know, we say certain things. We have humiliating moments. We have embarrassing moments. We have moments that are very scary. You know, even like, you know, my son went down to the Outer Banks with his mom. I'm like, hey, you know, do me a favor. Let's not get in the ocean while you're down there, right? I mean, we've had some tidal stuff, some people getting pulled out. We had, unfortunately, had a gentleman die this over Labor Day weekend here. The ocean's been rough. And even though my kids have grown up in the ocean, I'm always there, right? And so I'm just like, hey, do me a favor. Just stay out of the ocean for the week. And they did, and they stayed in the pool. But, you know, I'm still sort of managing. Even though he could probably do fine, I just don't know. I just couldn't handle losing him away from me. So, you know, but, you know, we do different things. Maybe, is that the right move? Maybe not. It definitely made me feel better. His mother agreed. It wasn't like they were down at the ocean. They actually were down at the ocean, but they had a pool too, so they got to hang out at the pool. But, you know, whether that's right or wrong, it's got us to the next day, right? And it's sort of like recovery. And, you know, I remember experiencing a lot of interesting stuff, but that's why I've seemed to have been talking about this for the last 2 months, is that, you know, when I came into this program, I was completely starting at zero, really. I had nothing. I didn't have any friends. I didn't know how to have a conversation. If I was talking to you, I was trying to get something from you, or we were teaming up to figure out how to get something for ourselves. It was nothing in a positive manner. My actions weren't good. My will wasn't good. Nothing was good. So it was just relearning how to be a human. And so at one time, I'm relearning how to be a human. And at the other time, I'm raising a little human. And I'm just basically keeping it in the same mode, right? I've always been grateful that luckily my kids have never seen me, using alcohol or drugs. They didn't grow up in that environment. I've definitely had a few conversations with people where their kids have, and I know they always regret it. I wish I hadn't. Right? I wish my kids didn't see me like this. I wish, I don't know what they wish, but it is what it is, and we move forward. But it is one day at a time, and there's been times in this program with years of time where I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, still have no clue, lost. And then all of a sudden, and I've shared this, a few years back, I just started to click, right? I just started to get it, right? The tools had been I've been using, and I started getting a little bit better. Not perfect, right? I don't know if I want to be perfect or I just want to be aware of when a situation comes along, what tools I can use to try to help myself neutralize it, right? Fix it. Say, I don't want to say save my ass. I try not to get going that bad, but, simple situations like this lady today not showing up. I personally wanted to send another text. I wanted to call. I want to block her. I want to put her on a list, right? And it's just not, I might have, early on, I probably would have, right? I have done many things in sobriety that I got called out on and was humbled, right? Crow's best eaten warm, right? And the reality is, how many times do you have to eat warmed crow before you start to get it, right? I mean, how many times do you learn a lesson over and over before you start to get it? And it's easy to shuffle that and push it back when it comes to us, but when it comes to your children, right? When it comes to my son, if I make a mistake, I learn from that. I do not want to make that same mistake, right? I remember my son when he was a little, he had these little bumps on him, and they have mycelium, I forget, they have a name. And it's just how the body reacts when a child is young. It capsulizes little viruses, and they sort of look like pimples, and they're like kind of on their body. And you're like, what the hell's wrong with my kid? And I remember taking him to the doctor, and he's like, Tom, I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as he reaches this age, they're going to go away. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, you sure we shouldn't go to like a skin doctor, get these frozen off or something? I don't want, of course, what I think is, my son's going to be an adult one day dating, and he's going to be covered in these little bumps, right? That's where I would go. And this is early recovery, right? I'm sort of out there still. And he's just like, Tom, just be patient with these. As soon as he reaches this age, they will disappear. And I remember going back to the doctor because they'd gotten sort of worse, and they were sort of in an area that you definitely don't want your son to have bumps around, right? And so you take him back to the doctor, and he's like, and I'm like, we need to go to a skin doctor or something. He's like, I'm telling you, trust me. And I'm like, And so we went home, and I swear to God, he reached this certain age, and bam, they just disappeared, all of them. And I was like, oh, my God, right? I was so worried. Didn't understand. Couldn't trust, right? Didn't want to believe. Always, listen, we should always have second opinions. I'm not saying that any time somebody says something to us and we're new recovery, we should just believe them, right? Always have a second opinion. Always check into it, right? But it turns out he was telling the truth. And because why? He'd experienced this probably before. In fact, I know he had. So, but, I got a little... a little bit upset, right? I remember kind of storming in there the last doctor visit we had with him about this, and I was a little annoyed, right? And he's like, I understand you're upset, Tom. I get it, right? I get it, but you just got to trust me. And sure enough, I did, and they went away, and he's great, right? Never an issue. But this sort of situation comes up a lot in early recovery. It comes up a lot still. Right. I was talking to a guy that, a guy that I sponsor, and he's like, you're going to make it to the meeting or the, we had a business meeting after the meeting. He's like, you're going to make it to the business meeting? I'm like, yes, I'm going to be there. Don't worry about it. He's like, well, you know, it's second Wednesday. And I'm like, dude, just relax. I'll be there. You know, but, so, you know, he's just trying to help me out. But since I've got time, right, since I've been around, I don't need help, right? So I had a little attitude inside, and he's just trying to help me, right? He's just giving me some pointers, right? He points out a few things to me that are a little annoying, and it's just my ego. There's nothing wrong with these suggestions, right? But the point is this stuff always comes up, and every time a situation happens, you got to learn from it. And, you know, one of the things, like my buddy, when he called and he was upset, and what I think he would learn and what I had learned is that when you have a situation like that, reach out to somebody and talk to somebody about it, you know, share about it, cuts it in half, right? I told him, this is what you need to do. When something like this happens, reach out, call me or call another person and discuss it, open it up about it in a meeting, you know, share it, cuts it in half, get some sunshine on it. You know, that was a huge thing for me. The ability to make an amends and the ability to talk about things early on in recovery, and the power of what that does to whatever it is. You know, our addiction wants us, the disease wants us to keep all this stuff inside, right? And think we can figure it all out inside. We don't need to, you don't need to talk to anybody about this, right? You don't need to share that. Let's just keep that inside. We'll just, I had somebody, it was funny. I was working yesterday and I was doing something and yeah, I forget what it was, but this person was like, we're just going to keep that as our little secret. And I'm like, and I know that it was kind of being funny, but I was like, oh, that feels cruel. That feels weird, right? I don't know. That feels creepy. I don't want to have a little secret, right? I do not carry around little secrets, right? And so it was weird. I was like, eh. But, you know, to the point, it's about tools. And it, one day at a time, we have our ups and we have our downs, and we start to settle in, right? And we start to use these tools and we start to learn more about ourselves and we start to realize, oh, wow, that is really the condition. I didn't, like I said before, wasn't aware I was so self-centered, right? I wasn't aware that I, you know, put everything in front of the most important stuff, right? I put, you know, my drugs and my drinking, my partying, what I wanted, what I thought I needed in front of everything. And that's just no way to live. And I wasn't aware of that, right? More shall be revealed. And as it's revealed, we have to learn how to manage that as well, right? Any decision that I make in a day, I have to take a double check it, right? Am I hurting anybody? Is this going to cause an issue? There's more people. That's the other thing. You get sober. You know, when I came into this program, I didn't have many people in my life, right? I maybe had, you know, a couple people. But you get better and more people come into your life and you get more opinions and you know, it's, you know, you have to be careful and adjust, right? And just keep learning. But yeah, and over time, that's just what it is. And we keep the tools we need and we let the other ones go, right? So, you know, I had an interesting thing this morning. You know, when I was living out in California, there was, you know, I've talked about California a lot. California was a real big spot in my life. A lot of interesting things happened in California. And I made a lot of great friends. Obviously, a lot of acquaintances, right? I'm not sure if I should take that back. I don't know if I left that state with any friends. But I had a lot of great acquaintances. And the weird thing is when I left California in 1993, you know, we didn't have Facebook, right? We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have ways of keeping in touch with people. And I remember coming out, you know, I'd been in jail or was in that probation camp. I got out and I had like 1 week to load up a U-Haul and get my shit out of California, get my ass out of there. And that's basically what I did. I should have been out of there sooner, but, you know, doing what I was doing, unfortunately, getting caught back up in that shit again, somehow escaped, like escaped from New York or escaped from L.A., right, as the bridge collapses behind the cars, we're going down the highway. But I left a lot of weird, you know, acquaintances back there, a lot of friends, and I often wonder about these people. And There was a guy that I had become friends with in my last year in San Diego, and he was like really good on guitar, and we would jam, and we would get our amps together, and he was really good at learning. He was great at it, like Van Halen stuff, and I was a huge Eddie Van Halen fan, so he would teach me a lot of stuff, and we just had a really great relationship. And the weird thing is that I was also friends with his brother, and his brother had, you know, he was a great guy like most people, unaffected, you know, not on drugs, not on alcohol, really great guy. I'd met him. He was super cool. And then he had been in jail. He came out of jail. And like I've shared in the past, you know, it was like a revolving door, right? You're either, you're waiting, you're in, you're out, you're waiting, you're in or out, you know, and it was just constantly this, you know, people in jail, out of jail, on probation, waiting for court, you know, lots of paranoia right out there. And so his brother had come out. His brother came over to my house one night and tried to rob us, pulled a gun out on us, pointed it at us, opened the door. And we're like, and I had, it was weird. I had this sliding glass door. And I wouldn't unlock it, right? I was like, fuck no, I ain't unlocking that door. And he was, we knew he was in town, right? He was robbing people. You could hear about it. The word on the street is so-and-so's out and so-and-so's collecting, right? I'm going to get my part. And he showed up, and I remember the person that was I was living with pulled out this double-barrel shotgun and pointed it right at his face through the sliding glass door, and he just walked away. I could never do that, right? I was not cut from that cloth. This person was a little crazy, and not sure that there were any intentions of shooting the man in the face, but she put it out there. Listen, you're not coming in. And he walked away, and he went and robbed somebody else, and they shot him and killed him. And that was heavy. That was a heavy, 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 heavy moment for me in my life, because that is like, I'm doing drugs, we're partying, we're just like the rest of us, right? But this was another level. This was like, you know, guns, crime, robbery, people getting beat up. This guy was beating people up, taking their stuff, taking their money, taking their drugs. It was bad. And he walked away and went and robbed somebody else, and they killed him. And I'll never forget, because I was friends with his brother, and this all sort of happened right as the time as I was getting out of there. And, you know, it's tough when that happens, you know, because I liked that guy. That guy was a really good guy. But he got wrapped up into the scene, right? And I would see this happen a lot, right? You see these guys pretty fresh, and then they, you know, they dive in, and they're up, right? They're up for days, and they're doing stuff, and they're trying to sell things, and paranoia sets in, and people are getting busted and turning on other people. It's an insane place. It's an insane time, crazy time to live, right? And so, but I was friends with this guy, and then for him to come and try to do that, and then to have what happen, it was really a sad state of affairs. And so this morning I just went on Facebook and I reached out, or just looked up to see if my buddy that I had been friends with was around, right? And sure enough, he popped up on Facebook, and I sent him a message just saying, hey man, how you doing? And he didn't really remember me, because this was 30 something years ago. I guess it's probably 30 years. It's almost 30 years ago, I guess now. But then he did remember me, and we were chatting a little bit. But he was really a little standoffish, and I was like, I can remember, because he said, you know, I got in some trouble, but I'm doing good now, right? But I remember that state of paranoia over there in California and San Diego, and in that group, and I just out of nowhere, hey man, how's it going? I'm sure, you know, I tried to put myself back into my shoes when I was living in San Diego, and I would have probably been like, what? This must be a cop. This guy's trying to, I don't know, something shady. And I was just trying to say hi. And he was actually really cool. I'm glad he's doing well. I just said, hey man, just wanted to say hi. Glad to see you're alive. You know, keep hanging in there. I'm like, if you're ever in our area, man, give me a shout out. And he was cool. But then I was asking him about another friend of mine who I'd become really good friends with out there that I just sort of walked away from, my buddy Robbie. And I know his brother died, fell off a cliff in Encinitas, drinking, Dave, or Mike, I don't know, one of his two brothers, but I know I heard one of his brothers did die. But, you know, I miss these guys. I don't know if I would be associated with them, but, you know, I would like to know how they're doing. And but I didn't hear anything back from him. The guy probably thinks I'm a cop or something, which I'm not. Just wanted to say hi. But sometimes when you go ask people from the past, they're not everybody's gotten better, right? I don't think he was bad. He was this guy was really good on guitar, man. He was freaking awesome, man. Long brown hair, ripped up some Eddie Van Halen, loved it, and glad he's still alive. But it's weird when you become, you pull yourself out of that, and then you dip your toe back into it just to say hi. And I could feel, you know, the little tension. Tension. But whatever. Grateful it's not me. Yeah, definitely grateful it's not me. All right, let's see if I can read a Daily Reflections and get out of here. Get ready for this storm. Go get some food and lock up the house and prepare. A Limitless Load, September the 22nd. Oh, and by the way, it's my brother's birthday. Happy birthday, bro. I already gave him a call. My dad's birthday's tomorrow. It's funny, I called my dad this afternoon. Happy birthday! And he goes, mine's tomorrow. Today's your brother. So I was like, shit. So I called my brother. And good. Happy birthday, bro. All right, A Limitless Load, September the 22nd. Like a gaunt prospector, belt drawn in over the last ounce of food, our pick stuck gold. All right, I'm going to start over. That's terrible. Like a gaunt prospector, belt drawn in over the last ounce of food, our pick struck gold. Joy at our release from a lifetime of frustration knew no bounds. Father feels he has struck something better than gold. For a time, he may try to hug the new treasures to himself. He may not see it at once that he has barely scratched a limitless load, which will pay dividends only if he mines it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 128-129. When I talk with the newcomer to AA, my past looks me straight in the face. I see the pain of those hopeful eyes. I extend my hand, and then the miracle happens. I become healed. My problems vanish as I reach out to this trembling soul. To this trembling soul. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a great message in there. I mean, when I talk with a newcomer to AA, my past looks me straight in the face. I see the pain in those hopeful eyes. I extend my hand, and then the miracle happens. I become healed. My problem vanishes as I reach out to the troubled soul. I mean, that is true, right? You know, I mean, a lot, that's what catches a lot of people, right? We come in, we admit that we're alcoholics, and then we help everybody. And there is some magic to being available to help if you're doing it in the right frame of mind, right? Centered on the beam, right? We just can't admit we're a problem and then save everybody, you know? But that's, you know, that is like reaching, talking to my buddy that called me the other day. He's all stressed out, right? You know, me being able to help him, asking, that's what the secret of this recovery is, one alcoholic helping another, right? I say, if you got one day, you got one day, you can help, right? You got 24 hours of experience. If anything, just to say, hey, man, I got 24 hours and welcome. And that's a gift. All right. It's like a weird podcast, just chatting a bit here, shooting the breeze here. But I hope everyone is safe. Stay well. Might paddle on Sunday. We'll see how quick this storm goes out. But, you know, whatever. Later. Big flame, you gotta move. I don't feel nothing at all. You can't feel nothing at all. So, honey, I love you. That's all. You've been on my mind, girl, like a drug.